I don't know if you know it, but this month a key is about to be auctioned, just I think this next week, and it's going to go for about £70,000. You got that sort of money? It's a great historic interest. It's a key that could have prevented a tragedy if only it had been made available. I wonder if you know which one it is. Here's a clue. It's the crucial key that could have unlocked the cupboard up in the crow's nest on the Titanic. Because in that locker, up on the top of the post of the or pole, whatever it is, they had their binoculars. And that key was in the possession of an officer who was shifted to another ship just a few days before, and he forgot to hand the key in. So the people on lookout didn't have binoculars to look at the icebergs that were ahead. One of the people who was used to doing that duty in the crow's nest said this: the binoculars would have bought enough time to avoid the iceberg. It's an amazing thought that if that key had been made available, it is very likely that the disaster of the Titanic, April the 14th, 1912, could have been avoided. They say, well, that's interesting. But if only that key had been passed on. And one of the things we're trying very hard to do is to make sure that everybody has this key to a much bigger problem available today. You see, many people are looking for the key of life. What really is the answer to life? Why are we here? As many of you know, I work as a surgeon. And many people facing real problems with major operations towards the end of their years in this life. Why? And young people, what is the point? Life's hard enough. It's not surprising people go for drugs and go for promiscuity. What's the key? Now, if you could look at that little reading that we had in your sheet, or look over someone's shoulder, we've got what Jesus says is the key. You see, he repeatedly claims to be the key of life. If you want to know why we're here, he says, ask me, the Creator, and I'll tell you. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He says, I am God. C.S. Lewis, he wrote an article and said, if people don't understand that that is the key of all that Jesus taught, that he is very God who came down to this earth, not just to tell us the way, but to be the way that we could get back to God, then we haven't found the key yet. Man is destined to die once, the Bible says, and after that to face judgment. And that's going to be the lot for every one of us here. Sometime or other, we will die, unless the Lord returns. And then we will face judgment. What's the key to that judgment? Oh, it's the Lord Jesus himself. If people belong to him, then they're free. I had a patient once who was separated from her husband. She was dying of cancer, a young woman in her 30s. And I was asked by her doctor to go and see her. She told me I could tell this story. And she'd got interested in Christian things a little bit after she first developed cancer. But as things seemed to go all right, she forgot about these things. And then the cancer came back. And her doctor asked me to go and see her at home on a domiciliary visit. And after we'd talked a little bit, she said, what's it like to die? And we talked about what happened, how you just go tired and go to sleep. But then she said, you know, I'm not ready to die. And I thought, well, why not? I know she had two young children. I thought, well, maybe that's the problem. So I said, what is it that bothers you? And she said, and I'll never forget it, she said, I'm not ready to meet God. It's very uncommon for people to think like that, to realize that they're on the wrong road. Now, can you just look at this passage we've got here? It's a great joy to explain to her how she could get off the road that she was on, onto another road that leads to life. You see, here we've got the parable of the two gates. Can you see it? One is a whopping broad gate. You might not even see there's a gate there, with a very broad road. Lots and lots of people are on it. But do you see where that road is going to? The signpost, probably people don't read it. You see where it's going to, that road? The broad road leads to destruction. But there is another road off at the side. Can you see it there? The narrow road. And you see where that leads to? It leads to life. Now sometimes we Christians are criticized, you're narrow-minded, you're not so broad as you might be. Well, sometimes it's not such a bad thing to be on the narrow road, and you'll see here why. Now, the key to understanding this story is the gate. The gate, Jesus says, is me. If you want some time to do a little study of your own, turn up John chapter 10 and see where Jesus puts himself at the center of everything. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, I want you to use your imaginations now. Would you please imagine that you're one of the thousands, millions of people travelling happily along this broad motorway road. No cars. You're just happily going on chatting. Actually, if you look around, you'll see, pinching a bit from John Bunyan, everyone's got a great big rucksack on their back. That's the things they've done wrong. But they seem to be able to cope with it most. I'm sure some of them are weighed down by it. But a lot of them seem to be able to carry on, and they're chatting happily as they go. And there's you, in the middle of the group, going along with your friends. You notice not really thinking where you're going. But then something happens. It could be all sorts of things. It could be an illness, like my patient. It could be a friend who's just started you thinking. Perhaps a friend who's getting baptized. And you think, where am I going? Perhaps you think, this load I'm carrying, my conscience, actually is a bit much. Where can I get an answer? And yet everybody else is carrying on, drifting through life. But you say, no, I've just passed another road. And there is someone just by it who said, come to me. I'm the gate. I'm the way. I'm the truth. He says, I'm life. And when you think about it, you remember that person doesn't have a rucksack on their back. He is attractive. And you decide to go and investigate a bit more. So you turn round and you move against the crowd. Well, the crowd's still drifting on. They think you're a bit peculiar. Why don't you go like everybody else? Okay, we tell lies. We're dishonest. We cheat. Perhaps we're a bit promiscuous. We have bad thoughts sometimes. But we're happy. Why do you want to go against everybody else? But there's you saying, but I don't want to go that way. And then you hear again that person calling to you. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's a tension. So you start to move against the crowd. And then you get those sneers, those comments. Oh, thinking of the God Squad, are you? Bible basher. We've got a friend who's became a Christian very recently. And that's exactly what he is called by his workmates. Never been to church. 60 years old. Not easy. But he heard Jesus speak to him. T.S. Eliot once said, in a world of fugitives, he who runs in the opposite direction appears to be running away. But in this situation, he's running the right way. When you get to the gate, this man looks at you. You try and squeeze through the gate. It's a narrow gate. But you find you can't get through. This load on your back, it's too big, you can't squash through the narrow gate. But then, this person who's Jesus, says to you, give me your load. I've paid the price for it. I came and died on that cross so that you could enter this new life. You could be free. All the guilt of things you've done wrong are on me now. Give it to me. And there you are, rather like the six people now who are going to be baptized. They've been there, they've gone against the crowd, and they've said to the Lord Jesus, you're the answer, will you take my sin? And you go through that gate. You say, I want to be Christ's person. The exciting thing is when you get through and you start walking along the narrow road, actually, it's great fun. That man, the Lord Jesus, comes with you. You can't see him. He's there by his Spirit. But he's with you. And it's a great promise for those people about to be baptized. The Lord Jesus will always be with you if you're in Christ. In Christ, you're as secure as can be. So, there's the choice. I had to make that choice when I was a student. I was going with the crowd, I was enjoying myself, playing a lot of tennis, doing a bit of work, and I met some people who started me thinking, which way am I going? Am I going in a godless road, or do I want to go on the narrow road, on the road of Jesus Christ? Do I want to be forgiven? Do I want to go to heaven? And I became convinced. Not only by the evidence that Jesus was real, he did rise from the dead, that's great. But something inside me said, this is right. To go with the crowd is not right. It's ungodly. And I want to be godly. Now I just want to be God's errand boy. We want to pass this on. Now, these six people have turned to Christ. They want to do what he teaches. It's a big commitment. We're in Christ for life. And they've decided to be baptized. Why? Because baptism is central to the Bible's teaching. It comes 80 times in the Bible. You can't miss it. Make a public confession that you're now in Christ. You've been forgiven by him and you're traveling that road. Can I just finish with something that's very important today? Baptism itself does not save you. If you've been baptized, perhaps as an infant, perhaps older, and you think, oh, well, I must be a Christian. Yes, you will be outwardly a Christian. But baptism itself, the ritual, the rite, does not save anyone. It will not take you to heaven. Calling yourself a Christian will not take you to heaven. It won't save you. What you have to do is to turn from the crowd to turn to the Lord Jesus and say, you are the only answer to my sin. You alone, God, have died for me. I'm living in you. I love you and I want to follow you. Now, could I just finish by asking all of us, not just the six, where are you in this picture? Have you turned off the broad road? Oh, you may have a bit of religion on the broad road, but is Jesus the center of your life? Well, perhaps you can think about it as you hear these youngsters say why they've turned from the broad road to the narrow road. But after this, during the next few weeks, we're going to have some Christianity Explored courses. Some for youngsters, some for older people, different courses. We would love it if you're not certain about where you are. Would you come and join us for this?